Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another in the series of Read the Word. Now, I know all y'all noticed it. I missed a day there, but we're going to just pick up where we were left off and get it done. So we're going to be doing the first one. I'm accepting a pretty amazing opportunity, and so I'm just working out getting it all in the right place on my schedule in a day, and I'll have it here in another 3-4 days, and then everything will flow just like it was. But appreciate your prayers, appreciate your friendship and your partnership. And some of you remind me to tell you a story that just happened in a couple months. You know, like, yeah, right. Who's going to remind you to tell a story in a couple months? Now, let's talk about the book of Isaiah, because that's where we are. And now we're going to read this whole book of Isaiah, all of the contemporary prophets that were with Isaiah at that period of time, and the kings, and all the rest of it. So this is going to be, you're going to enjoy this next month or whatever it takes us to get through this. I don't remember. I looked, but I didn't see. But here we go. So the book of Isaiah. He's a prophet, the son of Amos. He prophesied during the reign of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, generally regarded as the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Definitely a major prophet. And then, you know, smaller books are considered minor prophets. They prophesied. They had an important message. Remember, according to the book of Peter, everyone who wrote the Bible, did it inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So when authors say this book has some of the greatest poetry, well, it's God writing it. Of course it's going to be the greatest. Yeah, God's writing it. Anyways. And it spans the years of about 60 years, 740 to 680 BC. And, of course, the nation of Judah. And it's got many judgments for the wicked priest. It's got judgment for the wickedness of people. But now, that's my initial understanding and breakthrough of the book of Isaiah. However, I'm going to give you as my favorite verse this time going through it, Isaiah chapter 1. And I truly believe that Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 20 is what the whole book is about. I know you get back in, well, it's all a prophecy of Jesus. But you get back in there to chapters 60, 61, 62, 63. Those chapters are so filled with the glory of God on Jesus, and Jesus is in you and me. Remember, John 14, 16, 17, 20, and 23 says, God makes his abode in you and I. So let's read this. Don't worry. We'll read it again, but this is my introduction. All right? So, verse 16. Wash yourselves, make yourself clean. Now, you and I can't, but they had to. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Well, you and I can do that, but we know that we got that nature of sin, and until we accept Jesus' righteousness, you can't beat it. Cease to do evil. 17, learn to do good. Seek justice. I like that. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. You can find that in James chapter 1. Verse 18, come now. When? Now. When was now? Then, but it's now. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool, your sins. Well, now, isn't that cool? Although they were red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool. 19, here it is. If you and I are willing, we get to eat the good of the land. So say with me, I am willing. For you, Lord God Almighty, to do whatever you wish to do with me. And I will say yes. I truly will say yes. But then verse 20 says, but if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. To me, at this point in my study, that's my theme verse for this year as we go through Isaiah. And then, of course, we will give honor to Jesus. We probably won't get every single verse in order as we should, but we'll get many of them. And remind you, this is a statement about Jesus. Now, let's pray the prayer of salvation. Let's pray the opening prayer. Here we go. Father, I open my spirit, soul, and body to be led by you today so that Christ Jesus, my Lord, may dwell in my heart through faith so that I will be rooted and grounded in love and may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the height and the depth to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. I like that thought, that I get to be filled with all the fullness of God. Here we go. Isaiah chapter 1. Hold on. Isaiah chapter 1. The amazing book of Isaiah. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, the kings of Judah. Remember, God told David, you've been in war, and then Solomon, he's like, you didn't do what's right, and I'm not going to strip the kingdom of you, but his grandson. Whatever removed from his hand. Verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. I wonder if that's where the crib program got its. Verse 4. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Man, that ain't good. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have been closed or bound up or sewed with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land and your present. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers. Isn't that an interesting statement? As a besieged city, unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have become like Gomorrah. Man, Holy Spirit is saying exactly the condition of the nation of Judah. Here we go. Unless the Lord of hosts had left us to a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. Verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams, the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me, and God's the one that told him to burn it. But when you just do the action and there's no worship of God in it, it's of no value. The new moons, the suns, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me, and I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. See, God is judging them severely. But remember, you and I, all we got to do is just make our way to Jesus' blood and righteousness, and we're fine. Verse 16, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away from the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. 21. How the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice. I like this line. Don't you love this? Righteousness lodged in it. But now murderers, your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone, that's something, everyone loves bribes and follows after reward. Well, I can tell you somebody who don't love a bribe, and that's me. I don't like that. I don't think money ought to open any door to anything. I know money is an answer for everything. That's what the Book of Proverbs says, but you start using your money and you're bribing people, that's just ridiculous. Because then the person with the most money gets to bribe everybody. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, like George Soros. Verse 22. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water, your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after the rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. Therefore, the Lord of hosts says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. I like that. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. I will restore your judges as at first and your counselors at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. There you go, community of faith, prayer warriors. Another one of our verses. Zion shall be redeemed with justice and her penitence with righteousness. The destruction of transgressors and sinners shall be altogether. The destruction of transgressors and sinners shall be together. And those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed. I can't change the book. I can just read it. Ready? For they shall be ashamed of the terebinth tree which you have desired, and you shall be embarrassed because of the gardens which you have chosen. For you shall be as a terebinth whose leaf fades, and as a garden that has no water. The strong shall be as tinder, and the work of it as a spark. Both will burn together, and no one shall quench them. Wow. Everybody's going to burn alongside of each other if you go to the burning place. Here we go. I am now in chapter 2. Wow. It's hard to believe the wicked got the wicked. Israel, Judah got this wicked this fast. Chapter 2, verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It'll come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above all the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. It's a beacon. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach you, he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. The day of the Lord. Verse 5, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with eastern ways. They are soothsayers, like the Philistines. They are pleased with the children of foreigners. Their land is also full of silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands. I got to underline a few things here. That which their own fingers have made. People bow down and each man humbles himself. Therefore, do not forsake them. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. Now, we've been talking about the majestic word of God. There it is right there. And the glory of his majesty, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up. And it shall be brought low upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, and upon every fortified wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the beautiful sloops. the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, but the idols he shall utterly demolish. Demolish those idols, Father. 19, they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. In that day, a man will cast away his idols of silver, his idols of gold, which they have made, each for himself to worship, to the moles and the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks, and into the crags of the rugged rocks, from the terror of the Lord, and the glory of his majesty. I like that. And the glory of his majesty. When he arises to shake the earth mightily, sever yourselves from such a man whose breath is in his nostril. For of what account is he? Wow. Now you might think, that sounds a little dark, Pastor, but it's really not dark. It's just what was going on in that time. All right. Chapter 3. Judgment on Judah and Jerusalem. For behold, the Lord of hosts takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the men of war, the judge and the prophet, the driver and the elder, captain of the 50, the honorable man, the commissioner, the counselor, and the skillful artisan, and the expert enchanter. I will give you children to be their princes, and babies shall rule over them. The people will be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child will not be insolent toward the elder, and the base toward the honorable. When a man takes hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, "You have clothing, you shall be our ruler, and let these ruins be under your power." In that day he will protest, saying, "I cannot cure your ills, for in my house is neither food nor clothing. Do not make me a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem stumbled and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The look on their countenance witnesses against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom." Wow. "They do not hide it. Woe be to their soul, for they have brought evil upon themselves." Verse 10. "Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat this fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. My people, those who lead, you cause to err." Just don't do that. Don't be your own biggest downfall. "The Lord stands up to plead, and he stands to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and his princes. For you have eaten up the vineyard. The plunder of the poor is in your hobbies. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor?" says the Lord God of hosts. "Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched neck and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a jingling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. And that day the Lord will take away the finery, the jingling anklets, the scarves, and the cufflinks, the pendants, the bracelets, and the veils, the headdresses, the leg ornaments, and the headbands, the perfume boxes, the charms, and the rings, the nose jewels, the festival apparel, and the mantles. The outer garments, the purses, and the mirrors, fine linen, the turbans, and the robes. It shall be instead of a sweet smell. There will be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of a well-set hair baldness, instead of a rich robe, a grinding of sackcloth. And branding instead of your beauty. Wow, who would let him be a branded person? Your men shall fall by the sword, and your might in the war. Her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate, shall sit on the ground. It's amazing. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. He build it. Pause. There we go. Take that one later. All right, chapter 4. Day, seven women shall take a hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own food and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. And that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. I like that. I claim that about me. I am a beautiful and glorious planting of the Lord. And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. Shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by the day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a covering. And then there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge and for a shelter to the storm and the rain. Here we go with circle the wagons. And you just think about what we just read. God Almighty is saying to his children, the children of Israel, I need you to catch what I'm saying. There's too much bloodshed, too much going wrong, and I don't want it to go wrong. And that's our verses. If you're willing and obedient, not just willing, but willing and obedient to do what he says, you eat the good of the land. You really do. Here we go. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know I need you in my life. Every day. And according to John 3:16, when I believe in you, You give me everlasting life, and I will not perish. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. And I know you rose again just for me. Put your arms out and say, Jesus, I receive you into my life right now. Right now. Say this, all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, all of Jesus' blood he shed, all of my gifts, talents, and ability, I bring him to the throne room of grace today and ask you, Father, how did I do? Fill me. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, you know, when you and I realize that God is doing an amazing work in everything that we put our hand to, and all he asks us is to be willing and obedient and have our confidence in the covenant. Some people say we're demanding of God to do something. No. His covenant already has this legal demand in it. And we're just exercising that. You may never have seen that, but that doesn't stop it from being true. And we welcome you to be a part of our program with us. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, it is now Saturday morning. So we still got a day to make up. However, remember, tomorrow morning is communion right here. Rebuilding the walls of wretches. And that's all I got for tonight, for this morning. And so I say, I call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. I declare every bit of our enemy stays away from you. And you live in and you walk in the power, the cleansing power. God said, come now and reason together with me. Though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, till we see you again, this is what we have to say. Remember this. We love you, and God loves you, and Jesus is. See you soon. Thank you.